I appreciate my family very much, all of them. My wife and my children and my parents. Worked with my dad since San Luis Potosí, since, I don't know what year it was, since, see, I was 17, so I don't even know how old I am now, 13? 13 years, something like that, in San Luis Potosí, with my father and my mother, and they've been great co-workers, and they put up a whole lot with me, as well as my in-laws. I appreciate my in-laws very much. I appreciate that he never shot me, even though I, even though I know most certainly deserved it. Seriously, I wasn't always as sweet as I am now. And my father-in-law and my mother-in-law put up with a whole lot with me, and were sweet to me and kind to me all times, and I appreciate it very much. Thank you very much. And Danny catches all the fish. He's been bothering me for years to get to correct that. So Danny catches all the fish. He catches all the fish. Look in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. I'm going to read the first 11 verses. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor, where which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteneth to its place where he rose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers can't come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor, and men cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath already of old time which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of the things that are to come, which those that shall come after. This book is many times considered to be Solomon's midlife crisis, where he kind of has a little breakdown and starts seeing everything to be very useless and without purpose. However, I think it's quite an epiphany effect of our life. And you read Ecclesiastes, and I think it pretty much sums up truthfully what our life is. And our life is basically, in a word, useless. It's just useless. And most of us don't want to hear it. Aren't interested in knowing it. We fancy ourselves to be very important and to be very consequential to the world and to history, and to have a life that's full of purpose and meaning, and we think we're making a difference, but we don't make a difference, and we're not important. We're basically insignificant and inconsequential, and our life is basically useless. And I'm not trying to depress you in any way, but that's what your life is. It is vanity, and it's useless, and it's going nowhere, and it's pointless. And that is what your life is in this room. And I'm not just talking about, in general, lost people. I'm talking to you right now, sitting here, people who work and who strive to be excellent in what you do, like my father always has, and tried to teach me, probably unsuccessfully, but tried to teach me to do, and yet all of your lives are useless. And that's what he's saying. And it's a very clear fact. He states it over and over. There's no room here in Ecclesiastes. He gives no room for opinion or second guessing or any kind of contradiction. He says, your life is useless. Your life is vain. And it's basically not worth living. And he gives a lot of proof for this. He goes through, we can read the book, and the book is very interesting to me. I like the book. But in just these verses I read, he gives four or five proofs of why our life is useless. For instance, he teaches from verse 4 to 7, he teaches you that no matter what you do, nothing is going to change. Everything is going to continue to be the same way, and you're not going to change anything. It's so hilarious, these idiots who are trying to change the world. They, you know, David, in the book of Psalms, he talks about how he finally reached an age of maturity in which he ceased to look for things that were beyond him, that were too great for him. And you know, I think a lot of us ought to kind of come to this realization. There are things that are well beyond your grasp. You are not going to change the world. You're not going to make great impact on history. You're going to have zero impact on history. The majority of people in this world have no idea who you are. And if you call them up and try to explain, they are not interested. Just get a phone book out, turn to any page you want, call them up and says, "Hey, this is Mark Jones. I just want to know if you know who I am or would like to know. I'd like to take you out for breakfast." Beep! They're not remotely interested in you. I'm not remotely interested in you. You know, there's some of you, I don't know your name, and please don't come tell me. Let's just keep it like that. You get up every morning and you go to work, and when you get done, you come home and you eat and go to bed so you can get up every morning and go to work and come home so you can get up every morning, and it's going to be like that for the rest of your life. And it's not going to change. You're not going to hit the mother lode. You're not going to win the lottery. You're not going to retire with a whole bunch of... That is your life. And when you're done, they're going to say, "He got up every morning and he went to work and he came home so he could do it again. And he did it faithfully his whole life." Now that's pointless. And it's useless. And that is your life. And you look at everything you do. My boys come in. And in 2 or 3 minutes, it's worse than when she started. It's like it's better not to clean. If they don't clean, maybe they won't dirty more. If she doesn't clean. And you know... And she gets a feeling that her life is useless. Well, honey, it is. Because you're going to clean that house every day, and it's going to be spick and span every day and clean, and I'm going to whip the boys so they don't make a mess. Doesn't do much good, but I'm trying. I assure you, they're the ones making the mess. And when we move out of the house, it's going to be dirty the first time somebody moves in. And there will be no evidence that you ever stepped foot in the house. There will be no evidence that you ever dusted, that you ever swept or mopped or cooked or cleaned or cared. There will be zero evidence of your life in history. Zero. Your life is a zero. Big, fat zero. It's useless. It's useless. I know you think I'm trying to get to the reverse psychology part where I'm going to make you feel better, but there is no better. Your life is useless. It is all vanity. Because nothing you do will change anything. You can't even change your own life. As hard as you try, as hard as you pull, as hard as you strive, your life will be the same useless life it was when you were born. And it's never going to change. Because everything is vanity. Not only does he give that proof, he gives the proof that nothing satisfies. Nothing satisfies. To any extreme you want to deal with, nothing satisfies. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much you eat, you will be hungry tomorrow. And we're not talking about covetousness. We're not talking about envy. We're talking about simple, bare necessities. You can never be satisfied. So what's the use? Eat now, only to be hungry again? What a waste. What a useless, pathetic life. No matter how much you sleep, you can sleep 20, 30, 40, 50 hours all week long without waking, and you will be tired after 8 days of work, 8 hours of work. It doesn't matter because your life is useless. You got all these people so happy about their Spurs. Number one, they're zero next year. They're all zero next year. Everyone starts out at zero, and then you're all worried again. Will they be number one? Well, they won a championship already. Doesn't that suffice? Never satisfied. There is no pleasure. There is no victory. There are no clothes, no car, no computer, no MP3 recorder, Brother Mark, that'll satisfy you. Because as soon as you buy that one, I'm going to pull out the smaller one. It's a useless life. Third proof he gives, verse 9 and 10, is that nothing ever improves. Nothing improves. What it was is what it is, it's what it will be, and nothing's going to get any better. It's just not getting any better. There are no good old days, there are no good days, there are no good future days, this is it. And that is your life. And you keep holding out, and you keep thinking, if I hold out, if I wait, it's gonna get better.
There's a light at the end of the tunnel, but there is no light at the end of the tunnel. Your life is black and dark and long, and it does not end. And it's useless. You can fight and struggle, protest all you want, and there'll still be war. There'll still be problems. It just doesn't change. It doesn't improve. And the last proof he gives in verse 11 is that nothing remains. No matter how high you feel you rose, when you die, very few people will remember you. No matter how big your family gets and how many kids you have and how great your family reunions are, when you die, slowly they'll die out and they'll start their own family and your memory's going to perish. And you'll be like a finger taken out of a glass of water that leaves no hole, just a few ripples for a short time. And nothing you did was going to be remembered or matter or care. They're going to bulldoze your life out of the way to build their own on top. My dad is a tremendous framer. We worked in a lot of cities, on a lot of buildings, and saw a lot of crews working. Nobody ever even came close. Why he had to work so hard, I don't know, because he could have beat everybody by himself with half the work and not had a bad back problem. But he was tremendously fast at what he did. He built an entire floor of an apartment building, rough framed the entire floor in one day. He said they were his vitamins, one a day. And put the roof on and one a day, boom, boom, boom. And real fast, you know, we go back to where he built and they're not there no more. Bulldoze down and something else, a strip center or something else there. That's your life. You're working so hard at what you do, whatever it is, to accomplish something. But when you die, it's gone. It's all gone. And nothing remains. The people who inherit it don't care for it. Won't take care of it. Won't preserve it. And could care less about you. Because all is vanity. And your life is useless. And like I said, there's no bright side to it. But what if what you did could have real value? What if what you worked for did remain? What if what you lived for wasn't useless? Now, your life is useless. Anything you do will be useless. But there is somebody who was not useless. There is somebody who was very, very significant in history. The only person who has been significant in history. He was so significant that when he was born, angels sang. Stars made special appearances. Grown, old, wise men groveled at his 2-year-old feet. He was significant, and his life mattered. He was so significant that when he lived, demons worshipped him. Disease fled before him. He was so significant that the day he died, the earth turned dark. God turned his back. The earth trembled, boulders split in half. Dead rose again. He mattered. His life mattered. He was so significant that his accomplishments cannot be numbered in all the books that are in the world. Now, he mattered. And he was significant, and his life was useful. But his life was cut off, 33 years. Just in the prime of his youth, his life was cut off, and he lived no more. Now he's giving you a chance, every one of us. He's giving you a chance that the life that you now live, that you live in the faith of the Son of God, who loved you and gave himself for you. He's offering you a chance to matter. Nobody has ever given you anything in your entire existence. Not really. Everything is always strings attached, looking for a return. He's offering you something. He's offering you a chance to matter. He's offering you a chance to have a life that actually matters. To actually accomplish something with eternal endurance that will last throughout eternity. He is offering you that. There is nothing else in this whole earth or in heaven that gives you that opportunity. If you live your life for yourself, then you are useless, and your life is useless, and everything you accomplish is useless. Useless. There is nothing for you. There will be no reward. There is nothing. But if you will live your life for Jesus Christ, your life will matter. Your life will actually matter. You don't have two lives. You have one life. From the day you are saved, you have one life. And that is your life that you're going to take right on into eternity. This is not a trial run. This is not a chance to, you know, practice so that when you get to heaven or whatever you want to call it, the kingdom, you can do it right. When you die, it says all work is over. That's it. What you have when you die, that's what you will have all eternity. And the way you're living, you'll have nothing. But Jesus Christ has given you the chance to turn your life over to Him. Turn your life over to Him and actually mean something. And actually accomplish something, like my father was saying. Be something. Be useful. Your life is useless, but His life is not. So I encourage you this night to quit worrying so much about what your plans are and what you want to do. To actually come to the understanding that Solomon came, that it is useless and vanity, but he comes to the end, he says, but the whole of the man is to obey God, keep His commandments. Then life is useful. See, that's the whole point of Ecclesiastes. If there is nothing more, and if everything you do ends at the grave, then your life was useless. But if you can do something that will extend on through into eternity, then you're blessed among men and women.